Welcome to episode 82 of the BCF.org podcast, The Business of Business. I'm Brian Fisher. In the previous episode, 81, our guest was Brooke Janicek discussing fractional CMO, Let's Grow. This podcast series focuses on the various subjects and topics to help you run a successful, profitable business. They're approximately 10 to 15 minutes long, so you can listen while commuting. Hopefully, you'll find one or two takeaways to implement per episode. Today's episode discusses the value sale with Ian Campbell. Based out of Miami, Florida, Ian Campbell is the author of Wall Street Journal's bestseller, The Value Sale. As CEO of Nucleus Research, he is responsible for the company's investigative research approach, product set, and overall corporate direction. He is a recognized expert on the return on investment and total cost of ownership analysis of technology and has written and presented extensively on a range of organizational topics and the importance of matching technology to business organizational objectives. As an expert on technology value, he's a frequent speaker at industry and business events and has been quoted in major business publications, including the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, The Economist, and was a subject of a personal profile in the Financial Times. For over a decade, Ian has taught a course on assessing the value of technology at Babson College in Massachusetts and is a frequent guest lecturer at Stanford University, the University of California, Berkeley, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Harvard University, and Boston College. In addition to his expertise in financial analysis, he is noted for his research identifying the human barriers to successful technology deployment and the strategies that can be employed to maximize user acceptance of new technology. Prior to joining Nucleus Research, Ian was the vice president at International Data Corporation, where he managed a portfolio of research programs in the U.S. and Europe. Let's welcome Ian Campbell. Ian, welcome to the BCF.org podcast, The Business of Business.
Hey, Brian, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for joining us today, Ian. Ian, I'm always interested in people's stories. What's your background in becoming the CEO at Nucleus Research?
Oh, boy, I'd have to think back. I've been CEO for a while now. Nucleus has been around for over 20 years now, providing value to research to the tech industry. But I started out really as an engineer, as a software programmer way back, and then into marketing. I worked for IDC for about 10 years in market research, and then decided that value would be an interesting topic. There's a lot of research firms out there, but really focusing on value, and formed Nucleus, and it's been quite the ride since.
Today's topic is the value sale. What is the value sale?
So the value sale is really, how do I build a business case for a particular technology or any solution? And one of the examples I use, which is an absurd one, is if I told you that you could make money raising baby alligators in your bathtub, would you do it? And the answer is, well, no. And then the answer is usually yes. How much is what everybody usually says. And if I said, well, $5 million a year, you'd say I'm in. And you would probably raise baby alligators in your bathtub. And I haven't told you anything about the product, but I did sell it to you. And that's really the point. If I can build a value message, then I can almost sell anything. The real problem is, how do I show somebody that they will get a positive return? So the value sale is all about building that business case. How do I show that what it is that I'm trying to provide to a customer will generate more value for them than I'm asking them to pay me?
We've probably answered this one in that last question, but what's the strategy to weave value into every sale?
That's a really good question. I think if you think about it from a sales point of view, if you think about a typical sales funnel, and whether you're in marketing or sales or business in any way, we all know that sales funnel where we bring a lead into the top and we go through the stages, and sometimes there's four stages and sometimes there's 10 stages. And everybody's a little bit different. And then we get to from lead to close, and it tapers down. Well, most people think of value as a stage in that funnel where at step eight, I build a business case. And that's sort of the wrong way to think about it. Think about the sales funnel as having two sides. The marketing side you already know, the side you're already aware of. And then the other side, which we'd call the value side. The value side has three steps. At the very top, when somebody comes into a funnel, tell them all the things you do. Here are all the different ways that I provide value, or my company, my product provides value. Step two, when you start to really qualify that lead and narrow that funnel, look at other people that have provided that have achieved value from you. So big picture, step two is how have other people achieved value? And then step three, as I deliver a proposal, how will I deliver value for you? So think about it as two sides of the funnel. Don't go down one side and then you go to the other, then back and forth. So you say, well, I've got a lead in, I need to do all the lead gen thing, and then I'll talk about how I deliver value. Then I want to qualify the lead, then I want to show other people how to achieve value. Then I want to close the deal, then I want to show they leave value. So value becomes that message you weave throughout the funnel as opposed to a stage where I just throw it out there and say, here's a business case, I hope it works for you. That's not really the most successful way to do it.
We're speaking with Ian Campbell, CEO at Nucleus Research and author of The Value Sale. Ian, how do professional salespeople master the step-by-step process to identify the value points and prove ROI?
Well, proving ROI, a lot of folks think it's a big thing. ROI, it's a calculation. It must be difficult. It's not. You know, ROI is something really, really easy. So the first step really for a salesperson is to recognize that you already know how to calculate ROI. If you've walked into any bank and put any money in a banking account, which I'm sure most people have, you know what the interest rate is. That's the ROI. That's the return. I put $100 in, I get $5 back in interest a year. It's a 5% return. Same calculation for the business case. Nothing more complicated than that. So then it's a few tricks of what can I do for the customer and understanding what their benefits are. Put down their benefits, put down the cost, and do a very simple calculation and say, here's what I think the ROI is going to be for you, and here's what I think the payback's going to be for you. So really not as complex. The first real barrier for a salesperson is to understand it's actually a lot easier than it seems. Really not that difficult. You just have to go about it in a precise way.
How do you go about creating a consultative relationship that works for you and your prospects?
So as you talk to your prospect, understand that first, put yourself in their shoes and understand what it is that they're going to get benefits. Let me give you a couple of really good tricks. When you walk into any potential customer, any prospect, I want you to, you should think about two things, breadth and repeatability. The more people you touch, the more often you touch them, the higher the potential value you're going to deliver for your customer. So think about a CRM system that touches every salesperson that they use every day. A lot of repeatability, they use it every day. And a lot of people, a lot of salespeople. High breadth, high repeatability. Think about an accounting system, or think about an onboarding system that you onboard a new employee and they choose what healthcare they're going to pick. How often do they use it? Once when they start. How many people will use it? Well, everybody, but only once. Low potential value. So when you walk into a customer, say, is this high potential value or low potential value for the customer? And you can get an idea from breadth and repeatability whether that customer will be receptive to you or not. And then, so those are the two factors to look at. And then always remember there's only three things I can do. I can reduce cost, increase productivity, or as a byproduct of both of those, increase profitability. So as you're talking about all the things you do, tie them back to those three factors, and you're likely to create a message that they're going to be receptive to.
Shifting gears slightly, what have you found to be the human barriers to successful technology deployment and the strategies that can be employed to maximize user acceptance of new technology?
Yeah, so it's funny. One of the things we say, you know, I've got a book on ROI. Our company is entirely focused on value, but one of the biggest things that destroys the potential value in a product is adoption by the user. Is this easy to use or not is probably the most important thing you can do. So, you know, think about that application that's got a lot of features. Think about something as simple as Microsoft Word. You know, Microsoft Word has a lot of features. We all use four of them, five of them. You know, how many times have we made creative multi-columns? You know, it's very rare that we use any of the many features within Microsoft Word, except the few that we actually use. The easier you make something to use, the greater the potential adoption. I would rather have a terrible product everybody uses than a great product nobody uses, because the terrible product will at least deliver some value, but the great product nobody uses will deliver zero value. If the user won't use it, the value is always zero. So putting more effort into user adoption tends to have a greater ROI for any rollout of a product than putting money into an RFP. But we see so many people do a big selection process, and then the rollout is sort of a a throwaway. Of course, everyone will do a little training and it's fine. Worst thing you can do, spend more time on the training and the adoption, less time on the selection. Again, a terrible product people use is better than a great product people don't use. So those little steps and that little training, that's got the greatest return on investment you can possibly do. And I'm a numbers guy in technology, and I'll tell you everything about ROI. But at the end, it's the user that matters more than anything else you can possibly do.
It's always about the customer.
It is. It is. It's about the end user, and the end user has to feel good about it, not feel threatened, and feel like this is going to be helpful to them. And sometimes it's even the way you pitch it. Now, I'll give you an example. CRM systems, when you deploy it to a sales team for the first time, can be very difficult because salespeople will see it as, I'm taking all that information away, all the information that the salespeople hold valuable that makes them valuable to the company. So if you say, we want to deploy a CRM system so we can gather all the information, well, that's not going to be as successful as saying, we want to deploy a CRM system so we can help you be more productive as salespeople. So even the same product, how you say it can make a big difference. How you say why you're doing something can make a big difference in the adoption. And simple things like that will be the difference between huge success and a huge failure.
We're speaking with Ian Campbell, CEO at Nucleus Research and author of The Value Sale. Ian, is there anything I've not asked that you'd like to add?
Well, to talk about ROI, one of the things that when we look at benefits, and a quick tip for salespeople, what we see is when you walk into a deal, there are usually one or two benefits that drive a deal and then two or three benefits that support a deal. So a quick and easy way to generate a business case, look at only the top two benefits. If you build a business case around the one or two benefits that really matter, you've got 90% of the ROI right there. Everything else is tiny. Nothing else matters. So if you think about, again, I'll stick with the CRM system, making salespeople more productive is the biggest benefit. All the other benefits are tiny compared to that. So you'll close a deal on those one or two big benefits. So think about, what are those two big things that customer is going to get? Focus all your energy on that. Build the business case around that. Not only do you make it easier on yourself, you make it so much easier on your champion to then turn around and say, hey, on sales productivity alone, we're justifying buying this new product. Never mind all this other stuff we get. The goal isn't to make the perfect business case. The goal is to close the deal. So don't get caught up in all of the features and all the benefits and everything you want to do. Focus on the big things that will drive the deal to the close and make it as simple as possible. That's probably the number one thing you can do to ensure greater success in sales.
Boy, very, very good point. How can people get in contact with you, Ian?
Well, I always reach out to us at Nucleus Research. Nucleus is focused on return on investment and value. We are very friendly. So hello at Nucleus Research. If you ever get stuck, if you're in the middle of a deal, you need some help, if we can help you in any way, we've got lots of research available on our website. Of course, you can reach out to The Value Sale as well, and that's where the book is. But reach out to me at Nucleus Research, either through hello, or you can just contact me at Ian at Nucleus Research. We are always helping people. We're very friendly and happy to help you if in the middle of a deal and you need somebody to tell you the difference between IRR and NPV. We've got plenty of stuff, and just help people because we're good at doing this. Of course, we love clients, but we never turn anybody away.
Ian, thank you for joining us today on the BCF.org podcast, The Business of Business.
Brian, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. My sincere thanks to Ian Campbell for joining us today. Managing the performance of your company is one of the most important things you do as a leader. This podcast is on over 20 directories. Subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcast. In search, type BCF.org. Be sure to leave a space between BCF and ORG. Feel free to share this podcast with people who you think may benefit. A strong rating of these podcasts would be appreciated. If you'd like to reach out to me for business consulting or with any questions, comments, ideas, or potentially be a guest like Ian, please go to bcforg.com. There's a red Contact Us button in the middle of the homepage. A LinkedIn symbol is on the upper right. Click on that if you'd like to see my profile. All the podcasts are available by clicking on the website podcast page in the reference bar. These podcasts will be released the first and third Tuesday each month. In our next episode, 83, our guest will be Lisa J. Smith, discussing Find the Holes in Your Sales Process. In business, running a successful, profitable business is the ultimate scorecard. You're never done and can always be better. It tends to be more fun than work, frustrating at times, but can be very rewarding. From BCF.org Corp, I'm Brian Fisher, wishing you the best. Thanks.